welcome back to Duskwall. Or more accurately, welcome to the early morning train from White Hollow to Duskwall. Today's episode is something I've been wanting to do in Magpies for ages, a heist set aboard a speeding train. I've run a few one-shots of Blades set aboard speeding trains, and they always seem to end more or less the same way, with a few explosions. So you've got that to look forward to. One quick content note for the episode. As the Magpies are on this train in pursuit of the relic known as the Hand of Kotar, this episode does include a mobile disembodied hand. The descriptions of the hand aren't too graphic, at least in my opinion, and the hand is not bloody, but it is still there. Other announcements. First, we have transcripts on the Magpies site through Season 2, Episode 10. Huge, huge thanks to the team of transcribers who have helped us get this far. Tyler, Lyra, Michelle, and Pidge have been absolutely fantastic to work with. Second, there are still tons of great ways to support the show. Reviews are always very deeply appreciated, and they're a great way to help new fans find us. If you'd like to support us financially, you can buy a pin from our Shapeways store, or you can back us on Patreon. Our Patreon backer drive is still going on. If we can get 7 more backers, then all currently active backers will be entered into a drawing to win one of 5 Magpies pins. It would be awesome if we could hit 100 backers before the end of the year, so I can send the pins out first thing in January. Third, as some of you may have seen on Twitter, I'm in the planning stages to launch a new podcast. Aid Another is going to be an advice show for RPG characters. The idea is that people, both players and GMs, will write letters as their characters seeking advice on whatever problems those characters are facing. Then I and a guest host will answer a few letters per episode. I'm going to start recording in January, but in order to do that, I need letters. If you're interested, there's a link to the submission guidelines in the show notes. Finally, before we get to the featured charity, I want to take a moment to thank all of you. This is our last episode of 2019, and this year has been really incredible for the show. We broke 100,000 downloads, we got to do some cool collaborations, we started our third season, and we've gotten some amazing art of all kinds from our fans. Creating the Magpies is a labor of love. There's a lot of work that goes into it behind the scenes. And the support that we get from all of you makes that work so, so worth it. So thank you all so very much for listening. We're really glad to have you along with us. Next, I'm going to tell you about this month's featured charity, which is partly about a specific charity and partly about a specific issue in the U.S. As some of you may know, the Trump administration recently implemented new rules for SNAP benefits. SNAP is a program that allows people with low incomes to get financial help with buying food. Food insecurity is a major issue throughout the nation, and millions of people depend upon this support. These new rules would, in short, make it far more difficult for people to access the funds they need to feed themselves and their families. Money is always tight during the holidays, and there are hundreds of charities asking for your support. But if you're able, locate a local food bank or other food access program to donate to. If you're in Chicago, my personal request is support for the Glenwood Sunday Market. It's a farmer's market that I volunteer for, and one of our core missions is to provide a food access program. The neighborhood that I live in has a food insecurity rate of about 30%. The Glenwood Sunday Market works to support people facing food insecurity through our SNAP matching program. For the 6 months out of the year that the farmer's market is open, anyone who shops at our market with SNAP funds gets a triple match of money. That means if someone charges $25 to their SNAP account, we give them $75 to spend on food at the market. This year, we gave away $26,000, a $6,000 increase over what we gave in 2018. We want to continue these programs in 2020, but the federal grants that provided a lot of our food access funding are in jeopardy. So any donations you can make would be greatly appreciated. If you can't donate, please visit fivecalls.org and contact your representatives about this critical issue, or see if you can find a food bank to volunteer with. Things are really hard right now, all around the world. It's important to do what we can, even in the smallest ways, to take care of each other. Now then, let's get started, shall we? We see White Hollow, dimly illuminated by the rising sun, the broken shards. And as the sun is coming up, a train pulls out of the station, heading back along the coast towards Duskwall. And again, we find the magpies in one of the train compartments. I imagine Myra, at least, might look a little worse for wear, having gotten rather wine drunk the night before. How are the other two looking?
Blair's fine.
Minx is looking actively chipper. She's excited for this job.
So the situation is that the Hand of Kotar has already been sold to Lady Penderin. You're assuming that she did not come to collect it personally. She is rich enough that she has people to do that. But the hand is somewhere on this train, and presumably it's going to be very swiftly transferred into a much higher security situation when you get back to Duskwall. So ideally, you would get your hands on it before the train, returns to Duskwall. You will need to locate the hand, steal the hand, and maintain possession of the hand until you get back, because the train is going through the Deathlands, and you can't leave the train. Right. You could leave the train, but it would be a very, fine. Very dangerous and potentially deadly situation to do
fine.
So.
I'm the Deathlands expert.
Blair, you have ventured into the Deathlands before, but that's been like day trips. Depending on where you make your exit, you could be spending weeks out there.
Oh, fuck. And we're not equipped for that.
No. So that's kind of the situation that you have before you. And I think that previously I'd said that the trip between Duskwall and White Hollow is somewhere between 18 and 20 hours. So that is the amount of time that you have to get this thing and then keep it safe and yourselves safe before you reach Duskwall.
Yes, I believe our best chance may be to initiate a plan that ultimately takes place within the last hour or so, so that they won't have time to notice an absence or conduct any sort of reasonable search before arriving in town, at which point we can slink off.
And if you do have to bail out into the Deathlands, it's a much shorter walk back.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you can also use some of the time that you have kind of before you implement your plan to try and gather some info.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely need to do that.
Yeah, however you all want to start in on this.
Yes, I think I want to socialize in the dining car. I want to know who's on this train and who's who on this train.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Because this is like fancy people train, right?
It is a mix of passenger and cargo types, because there's not a ton of trains running back and forth, so they kind of load up one train with as much as they can. But there are definitely, like, fancy rich people cars.
So it's basically the Titanic.
Yes, except ideally will not crash spectacularly and
into an iceberg.
Yeah. Listen, if you all run this train into an iceberg, something has gone horribly wrong. Minx, do you want to start off by doing your socializing? Since it's pretty early, I imagine you could get in there for like a, you know, breakfast or brunch.
Yeah.
And chat like, with folks.
I don't want to like press my luck on finding actual information on the hand just yet. I want to know who is here, who could maybe be carrying it.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you going to roll to do that?
I'm going
to
go sway.
Okay.
I got a 5.
5. Okay. So standard amount of information. So yeah, you head into the, you know, one of the dining cars for breakfast. There's definitely eggs because chickens are still a thing.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think in the, like, what is there to eat in Duskwall section, it mentions chickens.
Why have we never eaten chicken then? Why has that never been an option?
I don't know. Because I forget.
Okay. I feel like we bend over backwards to come up with these weird ass foods, and I'm learning just today that we have chicken. You know? Anyway, there's eggs.
Yeah, there's eggs. There's probably like a, you know, a mushroom flour bread. I don't know what else. Oh, maybe chicken sausage. It's nice. It's a nice breakfast. And you got a 5. Kind of, I think, as you are mingling. There's a table of, I think, about 6 people, kind of off in a back corner of the car, keeping to themselves pretty much. They're not really engaging with you very much. Very, like, they're polite, but they're cold, and they're not really inviting you to join them. And I think as you are kind of inconspicuously lurking in their vicinity, you hear one of them basically telling 2 of the people at the table of, you know, as soon as we finish here, you 2 are on first shift. Keep an eye on it. We need to make sure that this stays secure. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Basically kind of giving security instructions.
Okay.
And I think as you're walking away, that person who is giving the directions kind of, you know, makes a gesture with their hand. And you can see on the back of their wrist is a tattoo in the symbol of the fallen star that you've seen a few other places. Specifically tied to Lady Penderin.
I see. All right, that's good to know. Okay, and these aren't train staff? These are guests?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know because it means the train staff isn't necessarily in on it.
Mm-hmm. So, Myra or Blair, you have any info you want to try to gather?
I'm assuming that, like, servants kind of go to breakfast with, like, everyone else who's not in the fancy dining car.
Yes, yeah, there is a second class.
So I'm going to go sit in the second class dining car and just kind of people watch and see if I can spot anyone who seems likely to be involved.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and give me a roll.
God, I think it's study.
Study makes sense, yeah.
4.
4. Okay, so again, standard amount of information. So you hang out in the second class coach, whatever you want to call it, dining car. And initially, like, nobody in there really seems to be connected to the Penderin traveling party. But then after a little bit, 2 people cut through, walking down the train. You've been around, you know, doing this whole criminal thing for a while. You recognize this as people who are a little better armed and armored than one would expect for morning on a train. It's the equivalent of, oh, they have a normal load. So you spot these 2 people kind of moving briskly through the train car on their way elsewhere. You can, with that kind of standard amount of information, you can follow them to see where they end up.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
So you trail them kind of through the rest of the passenger car area. And then you get to a point where there is a member of the train staff standing at a door. Like, you're have to stay back a little ways so you can't see exactly what happens. But the 2 of them talk to the staff member who's posted there. One of them shows the employee, like, a folded piece of paper. They look at it, they nod, they open, like, they unlock that door, and then the 2 of them continue on, and then the train staff closes the door and relocks it. So there's some kind of secure area that they head into further down that you would not be able to follow because you would be spotted.
Uh-huh. At least I know where it is. Where is it in relation to the rest of the train again?
I am going to pretend I know how train works. How trains work. I'm going to pretend I can speak, too.
I feel like it could have, like, it's a car to itself or something. I don't know.
Well, so what I'm picturing is that there's, like, so there's the engine. I think like the front probably third of the train is kind of the passenger cars. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it is cargo.
Yeah.
Based on what you saw when you were boarding the train, like the like back third are kind of those open cars of like heaps of coal and other stuff like that. So it's probably not that far back. So somewhere in the middle third of the train, you're guessing is where it's being stored.
Yeah. And then like, because I've seen like where the checkpoint is, I at least can guess where on the train the checkpoint is and make that mental note and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You know exactly how to get to that security checkpoint area. Blair, any info you want to gather?
That's a good question, dude.
I have an idea.
Yeah?
You could look into how to navigate outside the train.
Yeah, see if you can chat with any of the railjacks.
Sure.
Because, like, I feel like you have to also have that similar kind of very weird, limited regard for self-preservation thing that Blair's got going to decide that that's the career path you want.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stand on top of a moving train and fight ghosts, yeah.
Yeah, but also they fight ghosts instead of, you know, helping them. Anyway, this is probably gonna be a consort.
Yeah, probably.
Cool, I got a 3 and a 2.
So you get limited information. I think you are able to, I think there's like a bar, like a train car that's just a bar.
Oh, dope.
And I think you're able to find your way in there. You find I think just a single off-duty railjack. Strike up a conversation with them. And I think kind of exactly the sort of hesitance that you had about talking to them is what makes this not as useful, is that Blair kind of starts to get on her soapbox about, like,
ghost rights!
Yeah. But you do get a little bit of information. You basically learned that the railjacks kind of have their own sort of, like, access points to the outside of the train. There are doors set in some of the cars that they can open and climb out onto. They tend to have kind of, like, harnesses that they use to, like, attach themselves to the cars so they don't fall off while they are zipping along very fast.
Yeah.
But you don't really get much more than that. Yeah, I think that's pretty much what you get, is that there is this way of moving along the train on the outside.
Yeah.
But not a ton of other details.
I tried.
Yeah, I mean, it is more information than you had previously. Any other info you want to try to gather?
I don't know what the transfers between cars look like in this situation. I imagine they're flexibly covered.
What are they? How do trains work? It's been so long since I've been on a train.
Fucking trains, yeah, how do they work?
Yeah. I think that there is a, like, I'm picturing kind of like a weatherproofed canvas sort of between the cars so that it can kind of, you know, bend and flex when the train goes around a bend. What info are you trying to?
I'm just trying to figure out what the line of sight for the railjacks would be.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the problem with crawling outside the train, is there's already going to be people there.
Yes. There are not really a lot of lights on the train itself. The railjacks do have kind of lanterns that they carry, but it's also very dark out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something where, like, if the train is going straight, you can theoretically see from one end of the train to the other, but in practice there is not enough light to really see more than like one or two cars at a time.
Right.
I think Blair could have probably gotten that with her role.
So like sneaking is conceivably possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dangerous, extremely dangerous, but very doable in terms of not getting spotted.
Right. Yeah, I think I might need a moment to think on how to actually formulate a plan here and what we need to know. Because a lot of the old train heist cliches are not feasible.
Yeah. Cannot ride up with horses and make them stop.
Yeah. How close to the passenger area is the cargo area? Is it one cargo car, or?
No, there's a ton of cargo cars.
Okay.
This is a huge, huge, long train. And I think that it's like the fancy people are up at the very front of the train.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the people who have less money. That's kind of where you all have been. And then there's the cargo area of the train. So.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, we could just do that. Yeah, we might just need to do that in the last hour or so, so people don't have time to discover the crime scene, I guess.
Planning on posing as staff or sneaking around the outside?
Posing as staff, letting the other two in, and then dealing with what comes in there, I guess?
How does that sound to the other two?
That works for me.
Okay.
Weirdly, it almost sounds too easy.
I mean, it's not too terribly different than, you know, breaking into a house back in Duskwall. You don't know exactly what's in the house. You scout the outside of it and then get in and find out what's waiting for
you. In that scenario, you have the bugging out option.
Yes.
yeah. Here, the stakes, we don't have that.
Yeah, the stakes are a bit higher. Yeah, so,
I think the plan is, yeah, we just need to all pose as staff, relieve the guard on duty, let us all in. And then I think maybe, yeah, let's start with that.
Then I think that's where we'll start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's figure out the engagement role. One for luck. Is this operation particularly bold or daring? I feel like trying to steal a super powerful artifact on a speeding train through inhospitable wilderness is pretty daring.
Yeah, yeah, let's go with that.
Any other elements you want to consider? I think just the higher stakes of the whole train situation is making this just a much riskier prospect than normal. So it's going to be a one die roll, and I shall roll it.
Woo! That sounds like a
sound
one.
Good.
That does, it sounds exactly like a one, actually.
Oh, god damn it.
Yeah, all right. So you're in a desperate position when the action starts. So, Minx, you change into your very snappy conductor uniform. It's dark green. You got the little hat.
Yeah.
Blair and Myra, I assume you're kind of hanging back a little bit to wait for Minx to get the door open. And as you are making your way up towards the door, you see there's two guards, there's two of the people that you saw at breakfast. They are like Lady Penderin's, some of her personal guards that she sent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, when I referred to guards, that's who I mean. There's two of them standing outside of the door at the security checkpoint. And then the person that you saw who had the tattoo, the Fallen Star tattoo, is standing there talking to the two guards and the train staff member. And you kind of get close enough to hear what's being said. And it's like, no, I've compared their faces to the sketches that I was given by our employer. And it is, I am 90% certain the magpies are on this train. And I am sure that they are going to make some kind of attempt before we reach Duskwall. Be on high alert. Do not let anyone through this door.
Oh, heavens. Okay, real quick. Pull from the team, because this is kind of an impulse decision. Do we just fucking launch into it and take them out now? Before they can, like, search and identify us? Or do we back off and try something else?
I think we could back off and try something else and not get stuck trying to fight people in a metal tube. Because that could go poorly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Minx probably, like, leans forward like she's gonna do it, and then Myra's just like, no, no.
She wraps a hand around her arm.
Yep.
Silently.
Back to the drawing board.
So, what is plan B?
Well, I think plan B is going around the outside now.
So, I think you fall back a couple cars. And are able to find one of the hatches that the railjacks use. So this will probably be like there will be a series of rolls as you're navigating down the train. If you do not have climbing gear, like each of you would need to mark climbing gear. If you don't, it's going to be desperate. If you do mark climbing gear, you can hook yourselves onto the train, and it will just be risky.
I'm going to mark off climbing gear.
Climbing gear takes two slots of your load. You're able to kind of open up the hatch. I think, like, having Minx there in the uniform makes people be like, oh, well, I guess this is fine. They're supposed to be opening that thing. Sure.
This is fine.
So, yeah, you get the hatch open. There is immediately just, you know, rushing wind as the train is zipping along. Y'all gonna climb on out?
Yeah.
Okay. I think to start moving down the train, I'm gonna need some kind of group check, probably.
Group prowl, probably?
Yeah, most likely prowl.
Yeah.
Who's got the stress to spare?
Oh, I sure don't.
Blair, how about you lead us on this one, then?
Okie dokie.
Got a 5.
3.
Okay. So Blair is going to take 1 point of stress, but the result is a 6.
Woo!
Run the fuck out of that train.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I picture for this is that there's like metal cables that run down along the length of each car, and you've just got little like things that you kind of clip yourself onto these cables.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of hook yourselves in, climb up to the kind of the very narrow catwalk running along the edge, running along kind of the top edge of the cars, and start making your way down. I think that Myra, with your earlier gather info, you kind of know how many cars to count until you pass over the security checkpoint, which they didn't really put anything on the outside of the car because who would be crazy enough to do this? And yeah, I think you're able to, you make it over that security checkpoint on the outside of the car. Now, there are still dozens more cars ahead of you, and you are not sure which one contains the hand. You have some options before you, but you're past that checkpoint now on the outside of a speeding train, hurtling through the darkness.
Would an attune roll help anything?
Yeah. If you or Blair, I know you two are both pretty good at attune. An artifact like this would be pretty noticeable
In
the ghost field.
I'm going to roll a tune because this is going to be my first time rolling with a 3 in a tune.
Oh, ooh. Nice. So this is going to be risky. Greater effect because you've got your fine spirit mask. So.
Okay, that's a 1, a 3, and a 6.
Okay. Good thing you had that third die.
Whew.
Describe what Blair looks like as she is, you know, peering into the ghost field while clinging to the top of this speeding train. How does this look?
She uses one free hand. I'm going to say just for convenience sake, her spirit mask is already... She usually, like, keeps it on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that it's already, like, on the top of her head, kind of like that thing that shields your eyes when you're welding.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She kind of just brings it down. The spaces where, you know, her eyes would be, you know, starts to glow.
So you peer into the ghost field, looking down the train, and it is pretty obvious what your target is. There's, you know, you can sort of see, like, there's flickers out in the Deathlands of, you know, spirits. You can see way off in the distance, like, a brighter glow that's probably a spirit well. But on the train, there's not a ton of stuff that has kind of ghostly spiritual signatures, except about 6 cars down from where you are, there is this section that is just sort of glowing like a beacon. It's too large to just be the hand. It looks like there's a number of like arcane wards in this car, but there is, it's all surrounding something. And you can see kind of in the midst of all those wards, there is some kind of, there is a small shape that is glowing very brightly in there. You got about 6 more cars to cover.
That's a long ways.
A little bit. 6 cars ahead, but, you know, I think that's it.
That's simple, okay. Huh?
It's we're the closest we've ever been. We're on the same vehicle as it.
That is true, Blair.
I'm just excited, okay? We're gonna get it.
Yes, we are. And we should get moving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think, give me another, I think, group prowl roll to make sure that you get to your targeted car safely.
I can lead again.
Okie dokie.
Haha!
3, 2...
Got a 3.
Oh, no!
We know! Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, no!
So, you all start making your way down the cars. You get through the first 1, 2. You make it onto the third car. So you're about halfway. You're halfway to your target. And there's a clang from below behind you, and then another one ahead of you. And you kind of look around as it's a mix of there's two guards from Penderin's group and two railjacks who have been sort of drafted into assisting with this. All come scrambling up the ladders. They are hooked onto the cables as well. You've got two on either side of this car, so you're boxed in. And I think one of the railjacks, has a lightning hook in her hands, one of the big long ones on a pole, and kind of raises it and is like, if you come quietly, and one of Pendren's guards is like, shut up, there's no surrender here, and is going to raise a pistol. You all are in a desperate situation.
Oh, dear.
This person
you are
just
surrounded by people
us.
Who want you dead. Yeah. So, this is desperate. There's four of them. There's three of you. You're on top of a speeding car in pretty much pitch blackness. I imagine that like one of you has a lantern. There's the one of, you know, the two railjacks have lanterns, so there's very like flickery, spooky light.
Uh-huh. I think Minx is gonna look at either end. Well, I think it's time to say goodnight. And she's gonna blow out our lantern.
Oh.
And like
okay.
Try and pull everyone down to like hit the deck.
Okay. That's going to be some sort of roll. So you're trying to basically hide where you all are, trying to kind of, right?
Right. Like,
okay.
First it's blow out the lantern, have everyone hit the deck, and like maybe make this confused.
Yeah. No, that totally works. Yeah, give me some kind of a roll. Do you have... I know there's a cutter ability that has to do with...
Yes. When you bodyguard, when you protect a teammate, take +1 die on the resistance roll.
Okay. I am gonna say that this... I might still, if you end up taking...
This could be a setup action, maybe?
Yeah. It could be. I think because this feels protective to me, so even though it's not officially that move... I'm going to say that if you take a consequence from this, I am still going to give you that +1 die on your resistance roll.
Okay.
So, so whatever you're going to roll.
Can I make a case for consort? Because I'm kind of relying on my teammates here to be up to speed on what I'm doing a little bit. Or should it be like sway to because I'm so in confusion?
It is very theatrical.
Yeah. I honestly could... You made a solid argument for both. I would allow you to do either one.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to do sway then.
Yeah.
Because I got that sweet, sweet 4 dice.
Yeah, if you're trying to create confusion, I will allow sway for that.
I got a 5.
5. Okay. You do it, but there's a consequence. Okay, so you blow out the lantern, drag your teammates to the ground. Both Myra and Blair are safe and unharmed. However, as you were dropping, that guard who had said, you know, basically kill them all, fires, and it catches you in the back.
Oof.
So you're going to take level 3 harm.
Okay, well, yep, that's a resistance roll if
yes.
I ever saw one.
That's going to be prowess, and I will give you that bonus die for your bodyguard.
In which case, that's 5 dice.
Okay.
Got a 4 only, though.
Oh, no.
Well, still, so that you'll take 2 stress, and that'll drop it to a level 2 harm. So you're still kind of hecked up, not as bad as it could have been. It's a question of, did the bullet, like, go through some, you know, go through your side and mess up your ribs, or did it hit you in the spine?
Right.
So, yeah, you're shot, but still functional, but any kind of physical rolls, you're going to be at a minus one die.
Oof.
Yeah.
Dang it, I was hoping he would fire and hit one of the rail jacks.
Yeah. Okay, so Blair or Myra?
I have an idea. Let me just... Okay. I'm going to mark off throwing knives, and what I want to do with that is, while I'm, you know, pulled to the ground, here's how I'm picturing this. Blair is, like, face down on the roof of the train, and she grabs a throwing knife, and she is going to aim and throw it at, I don't know, any of the guards that mm-hmm. she can hit, and aim for their legs in the hopes of throwing them off balance and pretty much, you know, getting them off the train.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Are they linked to the same ropes as us, or their own ropes? Because we could also go for their ropes.
Oh, that's even cooler.
So the way that I'm picturing it is that there are... So you got the train car. On either side, running long ways, there is like a steel cable that's anchored to the end of each car. So they are hooked on, all of you are hooked on to those, either, you know, there's two cables, all of you are hooked on to one or the other of them.
What is hooking us to the cables?
Yeah, there's basically a line that everybody has hooked onto their belt, and then it's like a line running from your belt to the cable that you kind of hook a carabiner onto.
Go for the lines.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So, what would you say this role would be?
Could be hunt, could be skirmish. It is going to be, it's still going to be desperate, and I think it's going to be reduced effect because you're doing this in near total darkness.
Yeah.
It's a tough shot to make. Also, don't forget, Josie, to mark experience for that desperate role you did.
Oh, yay.
Well, either one doesn't really matter because I have a one in both of those skills, so...
Okay.
I'm going to roll skirmish.
Okay. Do you want to push yourself? Do you want a devil's bargain?
I will say go ahead and take an assist from me. I forgot I have an ability that lets me grant two free assists.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
All right.
Oh! That's a crit. That's two sixes.
Nice.
Holy shit. Oh, that's awesome.
What the fuck?
So describe how... So the result of it is going to be that not only does Blair make the throw, you're going to cut this guy's line, but he's falling off the train.
Yep.
So describe how does Blair accomplish this thing?
The way that she was able to get pinpoint accuracy is because she still has her spirit mask on, which helps which double serves as a night vision goggles, really. So she has no problem. I imagine she like curves the knife in a way and like it spins a little, but the blade does hit the line and it just...
I think that it's like as the train is going around a turn, so like the people who are still standing kind of have to lean a little bit to maintain their balance. So the line had gone real taut.
Mm-hmm.
And when it snaps, he completely loses his balance and just goes end over end, falls off the train. There's just kind of a scream that cuts off very abruptly.
Oof.
I killed the guy. Cool.
Congratulations. We'll deal with that later.
Truly a killer. Oh,
was that one of the guards or one of the railjacks?
Which one do you want to have killed, Blair?
You know what? One of the railjacks for killing a ghost, probably.
Well, now they will be a ghost. Myra, what would you like to do in this moment?
I would like to also be cutting lines.
Okay, go for it. How do you want to go about doing this?
I would like to skirmish about it.
Okay, so... are you gonna close in and try and do it at, like, melee range?
Yeah. I also critted!
Nice!
Wow. Okay, who are you targeting?
I think I went to the opposite side from Blair.
Okay. There's one Penderin guard and one railjack over there, so do you want...
Penderin guard.
Okay. So, I think it's the same thing. I think the guy's going over the side. Does he fall or do you push him?
I mean, they both want to kill us.
Yeah. So I think, Myra, like, under cover of darkness, zips over, cuts that guy's line and gives him a shove. Yeah, so you're down to one railjack and one guard, and the railjack, who is now on the opposite, like, so there's one guard on one side, one railjack on the other. I think the railjack, this is not in their job description.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna leave. They're not going back inside, they're just heading down further along the train cars. You're not sure if they're going to get backup, or if they're just bailing, but they're departing from this situation. They just saw two people get shoved off the train to their deaths, and they're not sticking around to be the third. So I don't know if anybody wants to do something about that, but one person is leaving.
Well, I think we're going to need a hand to get out of this situation.
Sorry to all of our listeners and loyal fans. The Magpies is over. I'm canceling the show. I cannot work in these conditions. Are you doing anything about the fleeing railjack, or are you going to let him go?
I think I let them go.
I feel like there's consequences if we let them go.
Throw something after them.
Yeah, you know what? Blair's going to try and do a murder again.
Okay.
We take no prisoners.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
They work for the bourgeoisie. I thought we were all on the same page.
Okay, that's a 5.
You do it, but there's a consequence. And I think what happens is you throw your next throwing knife, and it does catch them on the arm.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of stumble a little bit, but they are going to keep going. And the consequence is that I am going to start a clock.
No.
For reinforcements arrive.
This is why I wanted to kill him, because I knew if he got away, he was going to, like, pull an alarm or something.
It's at 1 out of 6. There is one guard left.
Is this the one who wanted to shoot us?
Yeah.
All right. Somebody has to score off against the shooty guy.
Oh, there's still someone left?
There's one guard left. Oh. Yeah,
I'm going to shoot him.
All right. It is risky, but reduced effect due to the darkness.
I got a 5.
5. Okay. I think that, like, you hit him, but it's a glancing shot. And I think he is also going to book it to go look for reinforcements. So that clock is going to tick up another 1.
Yeesh.
So you all are at 2 out of 6. However, no one is currently impeding your progress forward.
Yeah, I think we should just get to the car, so at the least we can fight whatever comes not on the roof of a speeding train.
So here's what I'm going to give you, because Minx did get shot in the back and is slowed down mm-hmm. by the fact that she got shot in the back. You can either have Blair and Myra help her and go slower, but it's going to tick up the clock. Or Minx can make a roll to try and keep up with all of you.
I think Minx is going to try that roll anyway, because reckless.
I'm going to borrow something from the Band of Blades game that we did, where this is not necessarily going to be like an ability roll. I think I'm just going to have you make a prowess roll, not like a resistance roll, but just roll prowess to see how well you can manage this.
Okay. I got a 6.
Okay. It hurts, and you're going to pay for this later, but you are able to run along the top of the train cars, keep up with the other two. I have a mental image. I'm just trying to put it into words. So you have 2 options for how you can get back into the interior of the train. One of them is another railjack entrance hatch, which is in the car right in front of the one that you want. So it will not put you out directly in the car, and there may be other security on that door that you'd have to deal with. Or you can try to cut your way through the kind of that canvas covering that's between the cars and try to climb down that way. The first way will not require a roll. You'll just be able to do it, but then you'll have to deal with the door. The second way will require a roll, but will probably get you past at least the first layer of security.
I kind of like going for the canvas.
Me too.
Okay. How do you want to handle that?
I mean, we have no shortage of knives.
Yes.
Although, just to be sure, can someone lend me a hand?
Yeah. Take my 2nd free assist. Unless you meant a group action.
I meant a pun, but...
I'm so sorry.
I heard it, and I sighed, but I wasn't going to draw further attention to it.
Oh, am I getting cold-shouldered now? Is that what's happening?
I will remember this when you ask for a devil's bargain next.
No, we don't need the free assist, I don't think.
Okay.
This is probably, I'm thinking, prowl.
Okie dokie.
Because this is a physical thing, and you are going to take the penalty, the one die penalty on this.
Makes sense.
Okay, 4. So, I think that in order to do this in a way that doesn't involve you plummeting to your death, you have to do it slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tick up that clock again. So, the reinforcements arrive is now at 3 out of 6. But you all are able to kind of climb down into this little space between the cars. You unhook your climbing gear.
Well, that was difficult, but I think I got a handle on it. Wow. Just dead silence. I'm really sorry. I didn't know it hurt that bad.
Anyway, so you all climb down into the space between the cars, looking at the door that you would have had to break through if you had just gone in through the hatch. It's a pretty serious door with, like, you can see, like, kind of the backside of, like, Sparkcraft security systems on there. There's a pretty intense lock on it. So, like, that would have been a difficult thing to get through. The next door that leads into the car, it is also locked, but it has, like, a, one of those windows that has, like, wire through it, so it won't just, like, you can't just shatter it and open the lock, but you can see. And what you see inside of this room, it's pretty well lit. There are several kind of metal crates that seem to be, like, bolted to the ground. And in the middle of the car is a cage, floor to ceiling, that has the bars look like they're electrified. There's, like, little zaps of electricity jumping between them. And there are two guards inside, like, sitting in chairs near the cage.
Would it be possible to intentionally set off the security measures on this door so that they might come to investigate?
Oh, yes, you could do that. You could deliberately set the alarms so that they would come investigate.
I don't really have Tinker, so that might be up to Blair, but...
Yeah, I can give a stab at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a 3.
Okay. Blair, instead of setting off the alarms, you just pick the lock. Quietly. And the door, like, you kind of weren't expecting it. The door swings open, and the two guards look to see you crouched there, lockpicks still in hand, Minx and Myra standing behind you, and so whatever element of surprise might have been there is lost.
Oh.
All right, time for guns.
Yeah. So I think that the consequence here is that you all are back in a desperate situation as the two of them lunge to their feet and go for their own weapons.
Yep, I'm shooting at them as best I can.
Okay.
Myra, now can I have that free assist? Got 6.
Yeah, you shoot at one of the guards and you hit him. I don't think it takes him out. These are pretty, like, beefy, well-equipped individuals, but he is badly injured. And yeah, what would the other two of you like to do? Minx has just shot somebody.
I feel like we have to shoot the other one.
Yeah.
That would be a solid solution.
Although I've already marked 3 things, and one of them is a blade, so maybe I'm gonna go fight him.
Okay, I'm gonna go do a stabbing.
5.
So, I think you're getting shot. That is going to be level 3 harm.
I'm going to resist it.
Okay.
That's a 5.
Okay. So you'll just take 1 stress then, and that'll drop it down to a level 2.
Where was I shot?
Like, in the shoulder. So you are also going to be taking penalties on some physical actions. Okay. Blair, what do you want to do?
Do a shoot.
Okay. Yeah, this is, I think if you're staying in the door, it'll be risky.
That's fine. I'll take risky because I already rolled a 3.
I think you fire, but as you pull the trigger, the train kind of, like, shifts on the tracks and your shot goes wild and it hits something that sets off that alarm you wanted to set off earlier.
Come on!
So reinforcements arrive is now at 4 out of 6. Yeah, so you've got 2 guards, 1 is injured, but still capable of shooting a gun. Reinforcements are on their way. What do you want to do?
I want to finish off the guy who's still standing.
Okay. Go ahead and take your shot. Gonna be risky, I think, for you at this point, too. Myra's the only one who's still in a desperate position because she has 2 people pointing guns at her.
6 again.
Nice. Okay, that is gonna... Are you shooting to maim or shooting to kill?
Shooting to kill.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I think you get him, like, square in the chest and he topples over and that's it. Fortunately, it usually takes a few days for ghosts to appear, so that's not going to be an immediate concern. Yeah, so one of the guards has been taken out. Myra, do you want to try and tangle with this other guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's up to a risky position now since you're just facing him one-on-one.
I'm going to roll. Fuck me. It's a 3.
Oh no, what'd you get? A 3? So I think that...
Can I suggest something?
Yes.
Or at least part of it is that I, like, when I got shot, I, like, dropped my knife. So I, like, basically try to punch the wound and, like, get my wrist caught.
Okay, yeah. So he's, like, got you in a grapple, basically? Yeah, I like that. I think this is going to put you back in a desperate position. He still has his gun. I think you grabbed for it, and now the two of you are just wrestling over that. But he is armed and is less injured than you, and I think is just, like, physically bigger. So you're in the weaker position here. So desperate is where you're back at as you're wrestling with this guy. Blair?
Yeah. I can try shooting again.
You could. Do you want a devil's bargain?
Let me hear it, yeah.
This is the last shot. This is the last bullet that you've got. You didn't pack a ton of ammo because you weren't expecting to have to do a lot of shooting.
And I don't use guns, like, ever. So yeah, that's fair. I'll take it.
Okay, yeah. So basically after this shot, your gun is going to be dead weight.
Okay. It's a 5.
He got injured already. Again, are you shooting to injure or kill? Jesus. Blair's gotten a taste for blood. I'm concerned. I feel like we're going to need to have a conversation.
She fucking wants this. And
yes, the fact that Blair is willing to murder people to get this artifact is worrying.
Yes.
Well, and also, people are coming. So
yeah.
I'm trying to up our chances.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's like, it's a character choice. Yeah, so Blair, I think, like, is standing there, gets an opening and fires, and this guy also topples over. Myra, I think, like, staggers a little bit because there's suddenly not resistance. And yeah, for the moment, you are alone in this train car with 2 bodies and this big electrified cage.
Is it? What's in the cage?
Looking past the bars, you can see that there is a fairly small, I would say like a foot on all sides, wooden crate just resting on the floor. There's a large label on the top of it that you can't read what it says, but it has Lady Penderin's like house sigil stamped onto it.
All right. Well, this might be your expertise, Blair, in getting us through this.
Okay, let me take a crack at it.
Is this going to be some kind of like a tune thing or a tinker?
I think we've said previously that you can like see that in the ghost field. I don't know that you've tried to manipulate electricity via a tune, but it's a thing that is doable.
I'm going to try that because I have 3 dice in a tune.
Yeah,
that sounds better than rolling 1 dice.
Yeah, go ahead and give that a shot. It is still risky.
Mm-hmm. Are you goddamn fucking kidding me?
Oh no.
Oh no.
3, 3, 2.
You can hear people are at the other side of the door. Reinforcements are 1 tick away.
We're gonna fucking die.
And clamoring at the door.
We were so close.
I have demolition tools.
I was gonna say, what if we blew up the train? What if we went full Uncharted on this?
This also happens frequently when I run train heists. Continue.
I want to set up the demolition stuff by the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as soon as anyone tries to come through, just
blow it?
Yeah, blow that shit up.
Okay. Yeah, this is going to be risky, obviously. Yeah, and I'm assuming wreck is what you're going for here. Yeah. Do you want a devil's bargain?
Sure, yeah. This is a good time for that.
Minx in particular packed a lot of stuff. You are not Minx. The other two, your stuff might be okay. Minx's luggage is going to be, like, pulled out, impounded, collected by the Bluecoats. Whatever you don't have on your person...
Oh, no!
...is gonna be lost. So clothes, your bedding...
Oh, dear. Why couldn't it have just been it decouples the car?
Because I want to save that for how this roll goes. And decoupling the car could potentially be an advantage to you. Because you're not too far out from Duskwall at this point.
That is true. This is a surprisingly character-fraught moment.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the last time there was a choice between luxury and a compatriot, I chose wrong, and now Bazo is a thing. I think Minx is going to choose right this time and let the stuff go.
I'm very proud of her.
I really like that bedding.
She doesn't know it at this point, but that's the loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead and make that roll.
I did get a 6.
Okay, so it was worth it. I think, Minx, you set up the charges on the outside of the door, so in that kind of connecting space.
Uh-huh.
Close the door that Blair had picked the lock on. When you hear the other door open, you blow the charges, and the door that leads back into the rest of the train is basically kind of like welded shut.
I see.
So people can't get in through that door. They could, in theory, maybe, like, climb back up around, climb over, but, like, it's going to delay them significantly having to go up and over and down to the next entry point and then back down through the train.
Right.
So I'm going to say that this has effectively reset the clock down to 1 out of 6.
Cool.
So the explosion happens. I think there is, like, a pause where you're all like, are we still connected to the rest of the train? But you all seem to be continuing onwards. So it's like, okay. Yeah, so you've still got this electrified cage to deal with.
Yes, I don't know how to deal with that part.
Blair, you can give attuning another shot. You can try tinkering with kind of the security system in here
I'm going to try tinkering again because that last roll was bullshit, and I have more dice in the tune, as I've stated. 2, 2, 1.
Oh my god. Was that on tinker?
No, that was... No, I
that was
only
a
have,
tune?
Yeah, I only have one dice.
Okay, okay. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with you lose this opportunity. You are just not able to, like, figure out how to control the electricity here. It's just, like, I think you, like, you're standing there and you're concentrating and then you kind of, like, come out of it and you're woozy and, like, you have a little bit of a nosebleed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not working. Anybody else want to take a swing at this?
Myra, how do we get through this?
I can take a crack. Let's try this.
Yes.
I've got 2 and a tune, so that's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah.
What's a devil's bargain look like?
You're gonna take harm no matter what.
Hmm. What level of harm?
Level 1.
Let's go for it. Really? Fuck you! It's a 3.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
I think I'm just going to bump that up to level 2 harm. I think that, like, you're trying to do the same thing that Blair was, and you just get zapped. Like, the lightning almost seems to be fighting back against you all now.
I mean, does our solution have to be trying to control ghost lightning? I figured we'd just, like, and disarm this somehow.
Yeah, if you could figure out another way through. That was my best option, I think.
You do have explosives.
Can I use them again?
Yeah, the demolition tools, like, that, yeah, that, it's not just one use of it. I feel like once you say, I have this, you've got...
Okay, yes, because I am out of load. Yeah, time to explode a hole in this.
This is gonna still be risky.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna push yourself, devil's bargain?
Yeah, I'll push myself. That only leaves me with 1 stress remaining, but let's make this happen. 6.
Okay. I feel like you throw a grenade at it.
Yep.
So I think what happens is you throw this grenade and it blows a hole in the cage, and the crate also kind of gets like blasted aside. I imagine Blair is probably the first one in.
Yeah.
And you like rummage into this crate, which fortunately was packed with a lot of like, I guess it wouldn't be straw. Soft stuff. Oh, probably like dried seaweed, actually.
Huh.
Would be like a cheap packing material. So you'd like dive into that and you're digging around and you find inside this larger wooden crate a very finely crafted, because it's white hollow, silver box that surprisingly, after all this, isn't locked. It just has a simple little latch on it. You gonna open it up?
Yes.
You open it up, and very similar to kind of how the eye of Kotar was presented, the box is lined with sort of a dusty old velvet. It's very soft and padded. Inside this box is it's a hand. It's a right hand. Kind of, it's more mummified than anything. It's not a skeleton hand. It's like desiccated and leathery. It is, you know, stops at the wrist very neatly. And that is it. It's sitting in this very nice box.
Can I touch it?
Yeah, you can.
Disgusting.
When you touch it, it twitches. And then very suddenly it twists around and like latches onto the back of your hand. So it's like a right hand overlaid on top of your right hand.
Oh.
Kill it.
Well, this is new. No.
It feels very, like, it doesn't look any different, but it feels like if somebody, like if a friend laid their hand on top of yours, it feels very warm and full of life and almost comforting.
Oh.
Blair, it just wants to help you.
Oh. Okay.
Blair?
What?
Everything fine?
Yeah. Yeah, this is cool.
You
check it
sure?
out.
And Blair's gonna just, like, lift her hand up and, like...
It wasn't supposed to move.
What do you mean? Eyeball friend moves. This makes sense.
You can. I want to remind you what happened when you've used the eye.
Uh-huh.
You take a lot of stress from using it.
Yep.
You can either give in to what is being offered here, this help, you know, which I imagine is kind of what Blair wants to do.
She wants to know what the fuck it does.
Blair can make a resistance roll to hold off on activating this right now at this moment, but she's going to have to resist because this is her vice, this is what she wants.
Yep.
I mean...
You're going to take stress either way. The resistance roll, you will probably take less.
Yes. I think Blair is going to recognize that now is not the time or place. She needs to interact with this thing under a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm gonna roll to resist.
Yeah, that's gonna be resolve.
Okay, that is 6, 6, 6, 4, 4. Does that count as a crit?
Yeah, so on a when you crit on a resistance roll, not only do you not take any stress, you actually clear one stress.
Oh, dope! This is awesome!
So, you clear one stress.
I learn something new about this game every time we play.
So, I think you are able to gently remove the hand and put it back in the box.
I give it a pat.
Yeah, like on the knuckles. And it kind of like, it after you set it back in there, it settles and goes still again.
I'm gonna name you Handy.
This ancient, powerful relic, lost for centuries,
yeah,
that Blair has been, like, just vibrating with excitement about for multiple episodes, has been named Handy.
As though it is a bloody pet.
It's really...
Well...
Par for the course.
Okay, so you have this thing. I'm gonna make a fortune roll to see how far you are from Duskwall.
You and Eyeball Friend are gonna get along so well.
We really do not need any more pets. Hex is enough.
So I think as you're all standing here, you hear, like, the whistle blow a few times, which basically means... We're approaching the station. The problem is, you all are no longer in the passenger area. So you're going to have to, basically, I'll need, like, ideally one more roll for you all to get somewhere where you can slip off the train without getting caught upon arrival.
Right. Well, I think perhaps maybe we can simply go a car over, and I'm still wearing the conductor uniform, right?
Yes, but it is covered in blood.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah, I think we need to just go to the back of the train and slink off into the night.
Okay. How about a group prowl just to hide? Because there are, like, people looking for you.
Yes. Yeah.
So, who wants to lead that?
I cannot.
Okay, I'll lead it.
Okay.
Ha ha, that's a one, baby.
Fuck you, it's a two.
Oh, dear. Okay.
The dice gods hate us.
Really?
So the result is a two. So you all are hustling along towards the back of the train. Blair's got the box tucked under her arm. And you kind of hurry across into a cargo car that's just sort of loaded with crates and stuff. And as you all move into the car, a figure very dramatically steps out from behind the crates. And Minx, you recognize this as the person that you saw at breakfast giving orders. This is the person with that tattoo. They step out, and I think that they are wearing like a very long, dramatic coat.
Uh-huh.
And they have like their hair is like pulled back, but they've got some little like wispies around that are kind of fluttering dramatically. Minx, even though you are injured and you just want to get through the situation, you appreciate this person's commitment to the aesthetic. Like, they've got a very, like, solid goth look going on here, and it's like, they know what they're about.
Good, good. We are not about to be stopped by someone sloppy.
Yeah. They step out, and I don't think that they say anything. They just raise a hand, and a gust of wind basically blasts at all of you. And if you want to keep your footing, you will need to make a resistance roll. Otherwise, you're going to get knocked backwards and take... This will be level one harm.
I can't risk taking stress from a resistance roll.
Okay. So, Minx, you get knocked backwards, slam into a wall. It hurts very badly because you got shot. So you're going to take level one harm, battered. Blair, Myra, what are you two doing?
I can resist. Which resistance am I rolling?
Prowess.
Okay.
I guess I'm also going to try and resist.
Ooh. Okay, that's two sixes and a three. Is that
wow.
Another crit for... Oh my god, okay.
Oh, thank god I got a six.
Okay, so Myra takes no stress. Blair clears one stress. You two, like, just stand your ground.
And Minx gets blown all the way back, just like... Ah!
You just get yeeted down the hall.
So this person, like, raises an eyebrow. Impressive, mostly. Hand over the box, and I don't have to kill all of you.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, you act like that's actually an option we're gonna take.
Also, how the fuck did you do that?
Well, if you were a better whisperer, you would know.
Okay, you wanna throw hands, bitch?
I would appreciate it if you threw the hand to me, yes.
No, I mean, do you wanna throw hands? Do you want to fucking go?
I need you to roll resistance. She's blasting you with lightning.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Is it resolved?
Well, it's a supernatural effect, so yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, five.
Okay, so you take 1 point of stress, and you're going to take what it was level two harm, but now it's dropped down to level one as you get... You're a little zapped, a little crispy.
Yeah, this bitch getting shot.
Yeah, this is what happens when I haven't really had the way that like powerful one-off enemies work is a little weird in this game, so I haven't really done it much, but I'm trying it out here.
I have ghosts and I'm not afraid to use them.
They just smirk.
I'm taking a shot. Like, okay. I'm crumpled against the back of the car, but I'm lifting up my arm and trying to shoot her.
Okay. Go ahead and take that shot. It's gonna be risky reduced effect. Shit, I'm gonna have
four.
To name this person, aren't I? You're gonna have a nemesis here if they survive it. Four. Okay. You do it, but there's a consequence. You take the shot and the you know, this person twists out of the way a little bit so it just grazes along their arm. And they kind of look at their sleeve, which is now torn, and kind of make a face, and then are just like, I don't actually have to kill you, I just have to keep you here until the bluecoats arrive. And you all realize suddenly that, oh, the train has stopped. So, starting a new clock, four blue coats arrive. One out of four.
Great.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, what are y'all gonna do?
We need to get out of here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, bolting it might be an option.
Yeah, you will have to make a roll to just book it, because this person is not just gonna stand there and let you go.
I think we should do a group book it. I don't know what that action is.
Prowl, probably.
Prowl. Do you want to do group prowl, y'all?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
I can lead.
All right.
One! I'm gonna...
Two.
Six.
Okay. All right.
So I take two stress and...
Two stress, but you got a six.
We do it.
I imagine that what this looks like is, like, Minx is kind of slumped back near the door. Kim is like, oh, you want to go? You want to throw hands? And Myra's just like, nope, we're leaving. And grabs us both.
So, yeah, I think that Myra is able to drag the two of you out the door, and you just run. Book it through Gedok Station. And once you kind of get out into the station proper, you know, I picture this like Union Station in New York. It's massive and full of people, and you're able to disappear into the crowd very quickly. And yeah, you badly injured. Everyone, almost everyone at max stress. I think what we had two of you at eight.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you make it away and back into surprisingly the comforting, dark, crowded streets of Duskwall. Okay, so let's do our downtime scenes. Let's start with Myra.
Okay.
I think. So, what are you up to?
I feel like this is very public house based.
Yeah, so you're like, yeah, at a local tavern in somewhere in Six Towers.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Six Towers or Night. Well, it'd be Six Towers, because Night Market, there's only one pub for us.
Aww.
No.
You're working on reducing heat. I feel like it's just kind of like there's a few bars in the area that like you've kind of ingratiated yourself to like the regulars and the bartender. So
yeah.
You're not a regular, but the regulars all know you.
I think that I trade like little favors that I can do for like their favor of going out and spreading the good word, like good
yeah,
words about
yeah.
us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what does that look like?
I'm trying to think how to phrase this, because I think literacy is decent, but like for some more complicated things, or like somebody needs me to look over a contract, or just little dumb...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just little
yeah.
admin things that people can use help with, and I just kind of set up shop in a corner, and we chat while I'm Aww. Doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So yeah, I think that absolutely makes sense. I think that this is a society where a basic level of literacy is mm-hmm. helpful to the ruling class.
Yeah, like I've definitely talked about like schoolhouses at factories and things like that.
Yeah, because you want people, it's easier for people to maintain the machinery if they can read the labels.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people like, yeah, I think like legal contracts or things like that people would have more trouble with. I really like that idea. So Myra just kind of sets up shop at, you know, in one of these local pubs in Six Towers. And yeah, I think it's just people come in and bring in some papers and just chat and ask for advice on probably a lot of like, you're kind of providing like, I'm not a lawyer, but
yeah.
type advice. And yeah, I think we like that we kind of see that happening. Myra's having these little conversations. And then we see some of those people like going out into the city and like, get stopped by the blue coats, and they're just like, I don't know, magpies? I've never heard of them. I don't know. Covering up the magpie pin on their jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we just sort of see that of that ripple effect of mm-hmm. a lot of the citizens in the area are doing what they can to turn the blue coats off your trail.
I love Myra working off of favors.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. And I like that the favors that she's providing. That's a really cool thing. All right, so while Myra is out winning over the citizenry, what is Minx up to?
Minx is going to see Nyrix. She's going to get a small bundle of flowers and put the necklace in a little box. And it's clear that she's clearly favoring her one of her arms over the other. Like, she's not in a cast or anything, but is sort of like, the other one's like a little bit limp. She's not moving it at all that much.
Are you meeting Nerix at her work or at her apartment? Are you going out somewhere?
I was thinking about at her apartment.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess you knock on the door with your good arm. And there's a pause from inside. It goes quiet, and then you hear footsteps approaching, and the door cracks open. And she's like, oh, thanks. Hi, you're back.
Hi, Neri. Yes.
Hi.
Just got off the train after spending some time in bed, but you know how it is.
And yeah, I think she goes to give you a hug, and you probably wince a little bit. She's not aware that you're injured. She's like, oh, well, you'll have to tell me all about it. I haven't ever left Duskwall either. That's just so exciting. You actually got to leave for a little bit.
It was only for about a day, but it's amazing what difference a day can make, even on a business trip. I did manage to bring you something back from White Hollow, though, and she'll present her gifts.
So, yeah, she takes the flowers and, like, you know, sets them in a vase or something, and then takes the jewelry box and, opens it up very carefully. It's like, oh, Minx, this is beautiful. Do you want to describe what it is?
It's kind of it's a silver necklace. The Silver Spinners Guild, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like White Hollow silver. It's kind of cut in the shape of a lotus, but poking out the top is a small, kind of like a dark amber jewel, kind of forming the center, but in a teardrop shape.
Nice. Yeah, so I think she like lifts up the pendant and is like, oh, Mike, this is beautiful. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, here, I want to see how it looks. And she like takes it out and is like doing that thing where she's like fumbling with the clasp behind her neck.
Mm-hmm. I will try to help her if she needs it with my one hand.
Yeah. I think it's just the fact that even if you're doing it one-handed, I think she can like hold the one side and then you can get the other hooked in.
Right.
And she like, you know, gets it settled and is like, oh, this is, I love it, Minx. Thank you. Thank you. And she will like bounce up on her toes and give you a kiss.
Yay.
And I think at this point she's kind of noticing that you've been favoring that one arm where like you did not use two hands to clasp the necklace. And she's just like, are you all right?
Yes.
Did you get hurt at all?
Well, yes, but that is pretty par for the course in our line of work.
Well, all right. Well, then sit down at least and I'll make you some tea and you can tell me everything about your trip.
I've missed your tea.
And I've missed you. And I think when you sit, she like gives you another quick kiss and then goes off to make tea.
Yeah. And I think it's just pleasant or from
then on out,
right?
Yeah. They're the cutest.
They're so cute. Yeah. She just has all kinds of questions about being out of the city and what was it like. And yeah.
Yeah. And like Minx is more than happy to go into detail and go on and on about things. And then occasionally mention that I lost my favorite bedding.
Oh.
But it's half fake tears.
Yeah, I think what ended up happening was, like, after a couple days, one of you went back to Gaddock Rail to, like, try and reclaim your luggage, and Blair and Myra's luggage was in the, like, you know, lost and found section, but Minx's, there was, like, I think there was a note of, like, if someone comes asking for luggage under this name, probably alert the Bluecoats.
Right.
So it was kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, we're gonna go. So I think when you mention that, Nerix is just like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, if you want, maybe sometime later we can go shopping and find together and find you something new.
That would be wonderful. Although, really, it's experiences on vacation, right?
Yes, I mean, it sounds like some of your experiences were not so good, but,
Well, we all made it back. We went what we did for, and I got to sample some seafood.
Well, maybe next time, if it's a less dangerous trip, I could go with you.
I'd like that.
Yeah, I would too. And I think we'll fade out there.
Yay, cuteness.
They're so cute. God. All right. And then I think we fade out from that and then fade back in on Blair. Where do we find Blair?
In her room.
Oh, yep. Yep.
She's on the floor. I don't think she has a desk in her room. She just kind of does all the work on the floor.
That makes sense.
Yeah, she is going to set that box in front of her and very slowly, reverently open it up again.
It still contains that hand.
Hi, Handy. Welcome to your new home. One of your siblings is here, but I'm going to wait a bit till I figure out what you do before I put you two together. Does that sound good?
Seeing as it's a desiccated hand that only seemed to react when you touched it, it does nothing.
Okay. Okay. Blair is going to very slowly put out a hand and very lightly touch it again.
Okay. As soon as you make contact, it's that same thing. It suddenly twitches and then like flips around to overlay on top of your hand. And yeah, it just has that very like warm, comforting, friendly feeling.
You're a good baby.
There's still that feeling of like wanting to use it to activate it.
Oh yeah,
but it's not as strong as it was there because you were in a very like high adrenaline, high pressure situation. Right. So I think you can kind of take some time to examine this and try to figure out what it does. And you aren't really able to get the specifics of it, but you do some testing without fully activating it. It seems to be protective in nature. It has some properties similar to like a spirit bane charm.
Okay.
But like amplified, and it seems like it could possibly protect from more than spirits. You're not sure. Without fully activating it, you don't know exactly what it does.
I want to activate it so bad.
If you activate it, you're taking the stress hit, but can get a little... Oh no, it's way more than one stress. Yeah, none of these artifacts are come cheap, but they are... They all are very powerful, so...
I know what I said earlier about Blair not introducing it to the eye, but can I just put the two in close vicinity to each other just to see what happens as part of this test?
Just to clarify, you're putting them just in close proximity, not touching?
Yeah, no, they're not touching.
Okay.
I want to see if they interact at all. So Blair is going to reach under her bed and reach for the box that has the Eye of Kotar in it and take that out.
Hi, buddy.
Okay. Hand is in box, eye is in box.
Yep. I'm going to take hand out of box and put it on floor, take eye out of box, put it on the floor, and keep them about maybe 6 inches apart.
Okay. So when you put the hand down and it doesn't do anything, when you put the eye down next to it, it's like magnet poles snapping towards each other. They don't move closer.
Okay.
But the hand whips around. It flips over, so it's palm up and is kind of cupped as if you could place something in the palm.
Ooh,
and the eye is, like, locked on staring at it. And I think Blair being Blair,
yeah,
you kind of look into the ghost field briefly. It's not... So both of the artifacts are kind of glowing as they do.
Right.
But between them is... It's not a line of force. It is, like, some kind of... runes or demonic script. It's something that the longer you look at it, the weirder your brain starts to feel.
Yeah.
Like it's not a headache. It's just
more like vertigo, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a vertigo, twisty reality feels a little weird right now sensation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just this line of this script running between the two of them, linking them together. So that's sort of a straight line. And then coming off from the top of them are two more lines, but they only go out a couple inches. But if you were to carry those lines forward, they would form the point of a triangle to a missing third piece.
Oh, cool. That's really cool.
So that is what you see.
See, when I have a theory now that because the hand went upward, palm up, mm-hmm. that the eye now wants to be, or rather the hand wants to hold the eye. Because it's in perfect holding position. It holds.
It is. It does, yeah.
I'm gonna do it.
No.
Okay.
Whoa.
So that, you put that on there.
Yeah.
And the sort of those lines of script kind of shift.
Uh-huh.
So that the hand holding the eye is now in the middle of this incomplete triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And those other lines of script that are incomplete have extended out a little further.
Hmm.
There's still a gap to where a third thing should go.
Right.
But it's a little more complete.
Interesting. But nothing catastrophic happened making them touch, which is cool.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. There is a sort of, like, humming feeling. Like, you get that kind of, like, vibration in your teeth of, like, you get this feeling sometimes when you're, like, around Satara when she is, like, unleashing her powers of just, like, you are in the presence of some really, really powerful occult forces.
Right. Now, what happens if I touch the Eye of Kotar as it sits within the hand?
It doesn't really seem to react to you. The eye is kind of, the eye is actually now focused, sort of looking towards that empty point.
Oh, this is so cool. Okay, I'm going to take them apart. I'm sorry, guys, to drag this on, but I'm having so much fun. God, I want to use it so fucking bad. I want to know what it does.
Well, you know, just start bringing it with you when you go out on scores.
Is that a hint?
The protective elements will be of best use to you on a score. I'll say that.
Okay, so I'll just activate it during the score and see what happens.
Yeah, just, you know, start carrying a hand around in your bag. It's fine.
Makes sense. Okay, so we're gonna have to figure out a way to carry this around.
The box is small enough you can kind of tuck it into your satchel with your other stuff.
Oh, I was gonna put it in like a drawstring pouch.
That also works.
Yeah. Yeah, Blair puts it in a pouch and she's gonna tie that pouch to her belt for easy access.
And I think as you do that, you get that settled on your belt, and then I think you hear like Myra calling from downstairs that dinner's ready and you head off downstairs.
God.
With this ancient, powerful relic tied to your belt.
God, this is... Blair's a bit too much like me, because she just goes to her room, does her own weird shit, and only leaves for meals when her mom calls her downstairs.
We fade in on a well-appointed meeting room. It is a testament to the wealth that went into furnishing it. The walls are polished wood, the floors are covered in thick, hand-woven Aruvian rugs, and familiar abstract paintings hang in gilded frames. Dominating the room is a beautifully crafted, oval-shaped wooden table. The style is old, pre-cataclysmic, making the table more valuable than the building in which it sits. It is surrounded by chairs that have been carved in a matching style, though they were made far more recently. Seated in these chairs are three individuals. Of the remaining four empty chairs, two have been turned to face away from the table.
Thank you both for coming on such short notice. I'm afraid I do not come with good news.
It's always wretched news these days. Those damned coal fuckers burned down another construction site and...
We have more important matters to discuss than your factories, Alistair.
Now look here.
Drake is right. We need to focus.
Aren't we short a member?
We're short several.
She won't be joining us tonight. She's wrapped up with the management of the establishment. I have informed her of the situation, and she has shared her opinion.
Lady Penderin holds up a sealed letter and places it on the table in front of her.
I hate to bring this circle more dire news, especially in the wake of Ruffello's death, but I'm afraid that the hand has been lost.
Of bloody course it has.
What? How did you fucking lose it?
It was compromised on the train from Whitehollow. Stroman sold us out.
To who?
Who do you think?
I told you they were good.
You also told us they refused to cooperate in the slightest. Recruitment is out of the question.
Give me some more time.
More time? So they can get their hands on the heart? Loot our vaults. Kill the rest of you?
He's right. We don't have time. the magpies have to be destroyed. Quite frankly, it's an embarrassment we haven't done so already.
As I said, they're good and well-connected. Ruthless enough to thin our numbers considerably. If the plan is to defeat them rather than recruit them, we need to bolster our position. Our weakness has become their strength.
If we can find their hideout, I can take care of them easily.
Despite our continued appeals to the Fallen Star, the location of their lair remains hidden from us.
Lady Drake and Lord Mora share a look and roll their eyes.
I agree we need to locate their hideout, but that is not our only option. We are aware of several people and places with ties to the magpies, thanks in no small part to the work of our information broker.
Who failed to kill them when she had them in the palm of her hand?
For what it's worth, you haven't had any better luck.
Salia was unable to meet our demands previously, but circumstances have changed. Our numbers are reduced, the Umbra Hunters are not adapting well to new management, and I suspect that soon we will need to cut them loose entirely. Our people and funds are stretched thin, and while she cannot offer us the magpies, she has a new approach that could prove useful in hunting them.
Which is?
One of her lackeys was severely injured in a confrontation with the magpies last month. The lackey's soul has since been repurposed. If our methods have worked, we may also be able to find a new use for our fallen members.
She gestures at the chairs that have been turned away from the table.
So, you want her to join us?
It makes sense. She has information, contacts, connections. All the reasons I advocated for her membership before. Whatever new arcane powers she's boasting are bonuses. Penderin slides the letter across the table to Mora. He makes a face and opens it, then reads quietly.
Well, it appears I am outvoted. 3-1. I think I preferred this organization when there were people involved who actually listened to me.
Don't be petulant, Alistair. Mora pushes back from the table.
Do as you will. I need to see to my own affairs.
He storms out. Drake and Penderin exchange a look. He's starting to be more trouble than he's worth.
We've lost too many. He stays.
As you wish, Lady Penderin. Was there anything else?
Not at the moment. We shall reconvene in a few days to welcome our newest member.
I look forward to it.
Thanks for listening. The Magpies will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at magpies_pod and visit our Patreon at patreon.com/magpiespodcast. Lord Alistair Mora was played by Tracy Barnett. You can follow them on Twitter at The Other Tracy. Lady Eleanor Penderin was played by Hazel Stapp. You can follow her on Twitter at Hazel_da_Basil. And check out the show notes for all of the great projects that both of them are working on. The Magpies Podcast is GM'd and produced by Rhi. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42. And check out rpgskillcheck.net for my copy editing and accessibility freelance site. Blair Culhane is played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at Kim Deanna Jones. Minx is played by Josie. Follow her on Twitter at DragonGirlJosie. And watch her art streams at picarto.tv/DragonGirlJosie. Myra Keel is played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at MinaMinar. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin MacLeod, and is used under a Creative Commons license. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is the creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions. Next, I'd like to thank our phenomenal Patreon backers. Pascal Zeman, thank you! All right.
I've got a worm on a string.
See, that's what my brain was doing. Rainbow.
I thought about it, like, since you mentioned it, and I was just like, yeah, that's quality content.
You realize this is recorded.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know.